Blog Talk Radio.
This is Julia Whitup with Talk Story Radio, and we have with us today Christy Monson, who is a retired marriage and family therapist, and she will be talking to us about the process of letting go of mistaken childhood beliefs. Hi, Christy.
Hi, Julia. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're glad to have you. So tell us about letting go of mistaken childhood beliefs.
Well, as I worked for years in Vegas in my practice, I came to find, or I kind of found an overarching belief that people's dysfunction could be traced back to mistaken childhood beliefs. For instance, I had a lady come in whose father had been killed in the jungles of Vietnam, and oh, she just felt abandoned, and that men were not there for her, and she could never find anyone that would stay with her forever. They would all abandon her and leave her. So as we helped her through that grieving process of her father's death, she began to write her own mantras of the fact that she was lovable, the fact that she could have her father be with her forever as in her thoughts, and she always had her loving relation, the loving relationship that was in her memories. So as she wrote her mantras, well, she began to change. Because the thing that I found is our thinking creates our feelings. A lot of times we think it's the other way around. But I can kind of reprogram my brain. If I write myself mantras, if I change my thinking, then my feelings begin to change. And so as this sweet lady did the grieving that she needed to do for her father and came to change her feelings because she had changed her thinking and had said her mantras to herself every day, she was able to find a relationship that was good for her. She was able to move herself into a relationship. And many times these mistaken beliefs can take on different behaviors. They can maybe be just negative thinking or procrastination or perfection or maybe a bad body image or debilitating fears or compulsive behaviors or just someone searching for love. So all of these beliefs that come from our childhood can color the whole rest of our lives unless we walk beyond them. And I have a book called Becoming Free that outlines this process. And at the end of every chapter, there work workbook things that we can do to help ourselves become the very best that we can be. Because a lot of times we just stay stuck in our negative thinking and negative patterns.
I had recognized I had a belief that people with money aren't good people. And that was holding me back because I couldn't really get money or I wouldn't be a good person.
You know, that's interesting because I got that very same belief from my mother. We just grew up in a house maybe four or five blocks from the people who were wealthy in the city that we lived in. And she would say all the time, oh, those are the rich people. We don't want to have anything to do with them. They're not good. So, you know, that's interesting that you have that because I have that same thing that I had to walk beyond.
Yeah, because you can never make any money. You sabotage yourself because you think that you aren't going to be a good person if you have money.
Well, and you know, don't you think it's interesting how sometimes you tumble to those things? I mean, this one with my mom, I didn't really realize it until I was into my adulthood. And I thought, well, I just could feel those feelings inside of me. And I thought, you know, this is silly. Why am I thinking this? And then I could go back and remember that this is what my mom had. Well, and she had inadvertently taught it to me. I mean, they were raised poor. They didn't have any money. And I mean, she didn't really mean to do that to me. It wasn't anybody's fault. It was just something that was there. So.
Oh, no, they don't mean to. They may be even passing it on from their parents.
Exactly. Exactly. Those are the beliefs that we come from. And I think, you know, one of the mistaken beliefs that came from my grandparents and my parents to me was that our culture is the only one that's any good. And I love how the world has shrunk, and we go from place to place, and we love all different kinds of people, and we're involved with all different kinds of people, and I love that now. I am so happy that we're not stuck in our own little place, wherever that was. I'm glad we can all walk beyond that. I do love that.
Yeah, that is nice. So what are some other common mistaken childhood beliefs?
Well, I had a lady that in my practice that was so interesting. She was into perfectionism. She had to do everything exactly perfect. And she had some compulsive behaviors that were not good. Like, for instance, she couldn't read the mail until she had tapped on the bathroom sink 5 times, or until she had let the mail sit for a day, and she had turned it to the west and then to the east, and some silly things. And she knew that they were silly things, and she knew that they were dysfunctional, but her mother had told her, had been a compulsive cleaner, and so she had to clean like her mother did, and this had come from her mom. And so it was really difficult for her to, of course she had mail stacked all around her house because she wasn't into tapping the sink every time she turned around. And so we got her involved with a psychiatrist that helped her with some medication. And then we had to go back and look at those childhood beliefs that she had, that she had come from her mother, and she didn't really need to tap the mail. And that was a really hard thing for her to let go of. She found that to change her thinking, she had to not only write the mantras, but music was a very strong, helpful thing for her. She had to turn her music on, and she had certain choirs and popular musicians that she loved to listen to. And so she would turn her music on and say her mantras, and then she would force herself to open her mail. And it was really, really difficult for her to do that. And it took her a good 6 months to walk beyond that. It was really difficult. But it was so fun to see her be able to free herself from that, because that is really a debilitating fear. That perfectionism had crippled her. And she was really happy to walk beyond that. And not that it would ever completely be gone, but she would have to talk to herself. She could sit herself down and give herself a stern talking to, and able to change that for herself.
Wow.
I had another lady that had been locked in a closet when she was little. The babysitter had locked her in a closet. Her mother was working, and her babysitter had locked her in a closet. And as soon as the mom found out that was what had happened to her little girl, of course, she pulled her out and found another babysitter. But this sweet girl had fear of claustrophobia. It was just every place she looked, and she had to be so careful. And, of course, in Vegas, I mean, there are people all around every place. And you'll just say, well, let's go down to the hotel and get a buffet, or let's go to a show. And those things were so difficult for her. She couldn't do that. She had a friend that wanted to fly to the Virgin Islands for a vacation, and she couldn't get the airplane. So that took us a long time to be able to work through that. And to redo that, she not only had to remember and grieve that and love that little child that she had been that was locked in the closet, but she had to help her, that part of her, see that it was okay. So we practiced in the elevator. She'd come for her session. She'd always walk up the stairs. So she and I would go out, and we would practice in the elevator. We'd ride down and hurry and get off, and then we'd ride up to the second floor where my office was and hurry and get off. And so we really had to practice at that. And she had to practice too. So.
Wow. Yeah, that would be debilitating to not be able to fly anywhere.
Yeah, and then we got to the end when she kept working on it, and she got so she could go down and go into the casinos, and if she had to keep her distance from everybody else at first, and then she got so she could walk in and walk out, and pretty soon she took herself down a notch, and it was just some behavior modification, and then she got so she could go to a show. And then she had a friend in Phoenix, and so Phoenix, of course, is close to Vegas, and that's not a very long trip. And so she had a good friend go with her, and they got on the plane, and they could, and she was just sweating, and it was really hard for her. She had to do her deep breathing exercises and say her mantras, and she kept her music going in her ears, and she got to Phoenix, and so she was so excited. So then she went back and forth a couple of times, and pretty soon she could go to the Virgin Islands with her friend, which was really a good thing for her.
What would you tell? I seem to have a couple of friends now who can't leave their house hardly. Like, only goes shopping once a month so that she doesn't have to go out too often.
You know, that's a difficult thing. And I had people in my clients that did that too. And the thing about it is the pressure doesn't ever build up, because this client of mine that did that could always turn on the travel shows and she could turn on the television. Of course, then she felt like she was kind of out in the world with her television. So the pressure never really built up enough for her to want to change that. So I don't know how your friends are, but you know, I think these friends of yours could look back, and maybe there are mistaken childhood beliefs in that, and maybe they're just getting older and it's difficult for them to get out, or maybe in the wintertime it's hard for them to get out. Do you know, can you guess what the situation is a little bit?
Well, no, one of them is fairly young. That I don't know what happened there. The other one's not that old either. Kind of like that, but with my mom, it is from, she's just gets cold and, you know, the sidewalks are uneven and she's just very elderly.
Yeah. Well, with these others, sometimes you could ask and see if there was something in their childhood that made them feel like they need to isolate themselves. If maybe isolation is a protection, because it's dangerous if I get out around other people. And you see that, we know in our adult heads that's not true, but if we've still got that little kid belief going around inside of us, why then we'll think it's dangerous for us to get out, or we'll think that it's not safe. Or sometimes we can start with behavior modification with that, and just go sit on the front porch in a rocking chair. Sometimes just getting outside for a few minutes like that is really good. And then maybe, since you're such a good friend, maybe you could find a quiet restaurant someplace that you guys could go to lunch maybe once a month just to get out a little bit. And then, we can always, talking helps us kind of get ourselves out of those childhood feelings. The child part of us doesn't want to talk about it. It's a secret, and we're afraid to share it. So if we can talk about it, why then we can usually walk beyond it. And if I can say to myself, you know, I'm going to honor that childhood part of me that needed to be isolated to be safe. But on the other hand, I'm the adult, and now it's okay. I'll take care of you, the little child inside of me, and we can go out and visit at lunchtime or go to a show or whatever. Another thing that's very helpful, if you've got a child or an adult that has gone through some childhood trauma, the mind can't tell the difference between whether it's real or imagined. And that's why these if I change my mantras, if I use my mantras, they will change my thinking. So I can, if a little child is really afraid, and maybe she needs to be in a safe room inside my head, and so it's really okay for me to use my imagination and my creativity and put my child in a safe place on the inside. And it might be a beautiful fairy castle, or maybe it's wherever they would like to be. Maybe it's a beautiful meadow. Maybe it's a safe house, kind of in the woods someplace with the trees all around, or maybe sitting by a brook, or some people like to be by the ocean. And we call that guided imagery. It's kind of a fancy behavioral word for, or therapy word for just, you're using your imagination. And you can go mm-hmm. any place in your head that you want to. And as we change, as we do that inside of our heads, then our feelings will change, because you see, we've changed our thinking a little bit with our imagination. We've changed our thinking, and we're to some place where it's safe. When you do a guided imagery, it's kind of fun. Some of my clients love to be at the beach on the seashore, and so I would ask them to feel the sand beneath their feet and feel the warm sun on their backs and listen to the waves lap against the shore, and maybe the seagulls are overhead, and maybe they're looking for a sand dollar that they can pick up, or maybe a seashell of some kind or another. So, and they can feel this ocean breeze. And so you see, the more sensory images we put with it, then the greater the visualization will be, and the more it will help us relax or help us walk beyond the childhood fear or the mistaken belief of our childhood, whatever it was. And so mm-hmm. even if we've got a busy, hustling day, I mean, I'm sure you're busy with your radio shows and your marketing and all the things that you do. If you just take 5 minutes and put yourself in that ocean place and with the breeze and the sun and the sand and the water, we can spend 5 minutes doing that, and it will help relax us and renew us and rejuvenate us so that we can go on about our busy day.
Christy, would you be willing to take calls from listeners?
I would love to talk to your listeners.
Okay, so if anyone would like to call in and ask Christy Monson some questions, the number is 929-477-3592. We'd love to hear from you.
And in the meantime, if they'd like to go to Amazon and just put in Becoming Free, my book will come up, and they can buy a Kindle or they can get the hard copy. But it's really good to kind of have around. I like to go back into it once in a while, because you know how we all are. I take myself too seriously sometimes, and so then I get myself in a state of anxiety. And so then I have to take myself down a few notches and say, okay, just chill out here a little bit, Christy. You're really okay. So then I
talk myself. So you do that by using guided imagery?
Yeah, and then I like to get back in my book, because it's helpful for me just to read a paragraph or two, because it kind of grounds me, it kind of centers me. So, yeah, the guided imagery is helpful. And then if you've got a favorite book that you like to read, that's good. My daughter just left to go home yesterday, and she listens to books on tape. So she likes to get some of the old childhood books that she used to love to listen to. She listened to Witch of Blackbird Pond on the way home yesterday, because that's a very sweet book. But it's old. It's one that came out of her childhood. So sometimes even just putting a book on tape on is a good thing, and it helped her over the miles, and she's back in Southern California now and in her home, and things are good. So, yes, I'd love
to
talk to
any of those
listeners. Yeah, they're good. Maybe we ought to talk about body image for a little bit, and then if you get a caller, why stop me, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Body image is something that I think many women worry about, and they find it's a difficult thing for them to go through. And sometimes parents are very unwittingly set up eating disorders or set up negative body image and say to their kids, oh, you're too fat, or you can't eat that, or you've got to watch your weight, or you're not exercising enough, or whatever. So they're telling them that they're not beautiful the way they are, that they're not the kind of person they need to be. And I think we need to embrace whoever we are and the way we are and get ourselves to the place where we're really healthy. I have a niece that she's got just a little bit of roundness to her, and she's beautiful. And she comes from a little German grandmother that was 4'8" and weighed 350 pounds. And so sometimes we just have we have a genetic structure that is our own, and we need to embrace who we are and let ourselves be the way that we are. And so this little niece of mine exercises every day, and she's got little kids, and she just works with her little kids and does what she needs to with her little kids, and she doesn't worry. She could be spending her whole life worrying about what she's eating and counting her calories, but she's decided she'll enjoy life for right now, because it's, you know, we can shame ourselves into the negative body image if we decide to. I had a lady in therapy. Oh my gosh, she was the sweetest person in the whole entire wide world, but she just couldn't have anything to do with her body. She just was so disgusted with her body. She couldn't even put lotion on herself. So we had to start with just like we did with the lady with the compulsive behaviors and the lady with the claustrophobia, just to deprogram her a little bit at a time. So I said to her, well, couldn't you go get a pedicure? Because I knew she couldn't get a manicure. No, she couldn't do that. So we started with just her rubbing lotion on her feet a couple of times a week, and that was difficult for her to do. But she started there, and then pretty soon she could go get a pedicure, and she could lotion herself with her body with lotion. And so just little by little.
So she just hated her body so much she couldn't even touch her own body?
That's right. She could not even touch her own body. And the way I got her started, she could do the right thing for the wrong reason. And the reason we got her going with was her daughter. She did not want to pass this on to her daughter. And so she said, yes, she would work on it. Not because she wanted to be able to be better with her own body, because she didn't want to pass it on to her daughter.
Uh-huh.
So she began to do the right things for the wrong reason. And so she just little by little got so that she could put lotion on her arms and she could go get a manicure or pedicure. And so just little by little, she was able to change that and turn that around. And she made sure that her daughter went with her to get a pedicure. And you see, that had come from her mother saying to her that she was fat and she was ugly and she was no good the way she was. And so I think we have to embrace our body images, whatever they are. And even we can, in the same family, I mean, I have daughters, and so I've got five girls. And some of them are a little rounder, and some of them are a little thinner, and some of them love to exercise, and some of them don't. And so it's okay for us to be who we are and the way we are. And I think we have to be careful that we don't give ourselves or continue the negative messages that came from those mistaken childhood beliefs. So I think we all need to just look at that and see what we could do to turn our thinking around so that we're peaceful and happy inside and we become the very best that we can be.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think you're right. That would be ideal. So you've treated things like anorexia and bulimia. Those are the body image things I was thinking of.
Yes, those are the real body image that you work with. And many times those come, and the underlying mistaken belief with those, not always, but many, many times, is because these kids feel like they can't control anything. They have a controlling parent, and the parent wants to control everything that they do. So this is the only way the child can take back some control. This is something they can have control over, because nobody can make us put anything in our mouth we don't want to. And so really, as far as eating and sleeping, I mean, there's some things that parents just can't be in charge of. The kid has to do it themselves. And these are difficult things. And sometimes kids need to go into an adolescent treatment facility, depending on how bad things are.
Mm-hmm. And do you cover that in your book, Getting Free?
Yes. Yes.
Becoming Free,
Becoming Free. And we talk about searching for love and compulsive behaviors and debilitating fears of all kinds and body image and procrastination and negative thinking patterns and perfectionism.
Great.
In fact, if your readers would like to, they can go to my website because I have handouts that they can copy, that they can just print off about all of these.
What is that website address?
It's just www.christymonson.com.
And Christy with a Y.
Yeah, CHRISTYMONSON. All run together.
Okay, .com. And can they buy the book there too?
There are links to buy the book there, and they can also go on Amazon if they want. And any bookstore will order the book if it's not in. I would love to have them write me a question. We didn't have any callers, but if anybody is interested and has a problem or a question that they'd like to talk over, they can contact me on my website, and I would love to discuss anything they'd like. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Goodreads. I have an author page on Amazon, so I've got a blog, and they're all listed on the website.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being with us today, Christy. Our time is up now, but I really enjoyed the interview.
Well, thank you, Julie. I just appreciated visiting with you also. And you have a great holiday season, and I give all my love to your listeners and hope they have a wonderful holiday themselves.
Yes, that I wish that for my listeners as well. Thank you so much.
All righty. Have a great day.
Okay.